take your Bibles.
No doubt part of that is the surprise. John chapter 20.
If someone that you loved and that you were mourning all of a sudden showed up in front of you,
this
you'd
morning,
be afraid.
And I was,
and so I believe part of that is saying, peace, calm down, it's okay.
Jefferson Bibles, Thomas Jefferson with an again in verses 20 and 21,
fathers,
even after they are
struggled
glad,
with the again. Supernatural,
peace
struggled with the miracles, and
unto you.
He came up
we're
with his own version
Jesus
of the Bible.
Alive.
You can actually find
in
it
Isaiah
today.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6
Jefferson, a child revised or whatever
version
out there, and
Hebrews chapter 13,
you go to the Gospel of John.
Now the God of peace
that
you
brought
again from
John,
the dead, our Lord
the,
Jesus.
The book closes
that
in chapter
19
of the sheep,
in verse 42.
The blood
the last
of the everlasting
verse in
covenant.
John 19
saying,
says, "There laid
the
they
of
Jesus,
the God of
therefore,
peace,
the God of heaven,
of the Jews' preparation
the God of
day,
peace,
for the sepulcher
Jesus
was nigh
back from the dead."
And he's the shepherd of your soul.
He's the shepherd.
I'm glad my Bible goes on.
Sheep.
I'm glad I've got chapter 20 and 21.
Blood
and he who takes anything out of the book of
Jesus,
the book. Is our peace,
book of life.
Abolish the
you
enemy.
Know, I'm glad that we've got the resurrection. We've got
tonight,
hope. We have
realized
to
read the back
believe
of the book
in.
Anyway.
If we didn't
friend
have
tonight,
the promise of the resurrection,
the enemy,
he's abolished the
Paul says
death, in 1 Corinthians 15, we would be of men
has it occurred
most
to you that nothing's
miserable.
Ever occurred to God?
If there wasn't the promise of the
because
resurrection,
he lives,
there
wasn't
I can
the
power
tomorrow
the
because
hope
he's already there.
Life that Jesus
he already knows what's going to happen
for us.
There will
be nothing to do tonight.
Even I hold my mule
because I would not be here tonight if Jesus
for me.
Was not alive.
There's
even
a
more
God
so,
that
know this,
give
Jesus
me
is here.
Peace. So stop.
Where two or three
walking
are gathered
about
together
in worry and anxiety.
He is in the midst.
Here's
aren't
what he's
you
he
glad
saying,
about that tonight?
Have
Jesus is here.
Not
and while we may
peace,
not be able to
comes from
see
God,
him,
peace that comes
we know that his presence
God.
Is with us
man
this evening.
An enemy
we serve
of God, destined
a resurrected Savior.
Hell,
and there should be no discouragement
Jesus
in the Christian life.
At all. He was the
our God's not
he
dead. He's alive.
He took
he's
our
with
sins.
Us.
We
he's
who
in
are
us.
Enemies
the hope of
with
glory.
God are made
I'm telling
nice
this is
to the
Super
cross
Bowl Sunday of Christianity.
And there's something exciting about it.
John chapter 20 and 21.
The blood of his cross.
John 20 is amazing because John 20 records
to
us and continues in chapter 21.
Jesus just been preaching
about the appearances
down to the
of Jesus to his disciples.
After Jesus
it's
died,
that Jesus
went down to
paradise
to here
to preach
the message.
Not a
he went down to Abraham's bosom.
He said
he
in
preached
John chapter 16
through the
blood
of
Jesus.
Go, the world
he preached what he accomplished through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And when he came to them, that was on his heart. That was on his mind. He spoke to them and he spoke peace to his heart, their hearts. I want you to notice he spoke peace to Mary who was weeping. He spoke peace to the disciples who were worried. He spoke peace to Thomas who was wandering. He spoke peace to Mary by calling her name and giving her a word. He spoke peace to the disciples when he walked into the room and he proved himself to them by his presence. He spoke peace to Thomas as he came there again and he showed himself to Thomas. Like what somebody put this way, Mary was weeping and he dried her tears. The disciples were worried and he calmed their fears. Thomas was wandering, so he drew him near. Something happened. I love especially the story of Thomas. Here's Thomas. He misses out on the first appearance one Sunday evening. And he heard that something happened one Sunday evening. He wasn't there. And by the way, the service that you miss is usually the service you need. And Jesus shows up at that service. And he hears about it and he heard, here's all, everything that happened, and he wants to know more about it, but he says, if I don't see the print of the nail in his hands, if I don't put my hand in his side, I won't believe. Now, Jesus could have showed up. In fact, Jesus didn't have to show up that next week. But Jesus showed up that next Sunday night. Once again, after the week, he showed up and proved himself to Thomas. He could have told Thomas, listen, Thomas, so you should have been there. You missed out. But he came back and he showed himself alive and he said, put your hand in my side. Aren't you glad tonight that he's God? From Sunday to Sunday, from year to year, from decade to decade, from millennium to millennium, from world to world, he's still God. He's still alive. He still cares. He looks at Thomas and he speaks to him and says, Thomas, I'm glad that you believe. But then he says to Thomas, looks beyond Thomas, and he looks to us today and says, blessed are they which have not seen, yet believe. He says happy. That's what blessed is. Happy, happy. Hey, you want to be happy in your life? Believe Jesus. You want to have joy in your life? Believe Jesus. You want to have peace in your life? Believe Jesus. Let me tell you today, the greatest happiness that I have in my life is knowing that I serve a risen Savior. The greatest happiness that I have is taking the Bible taking God at His word. The greatest joy that I have is not questioning and doubting and being fearful and afraid, but just saying, God said it, that settles it. Amen? That's how we have happiness in the Christian life. And He says, Thomas, I love you. I'm going to prove myself to you. Hey, listen, if you want to see proof, you want to see even further proof, hey, God will come to you. God will show you. God will reveal Himself to you. That's He already has through His word. But if you simply take Him at His word and trust Him, the Bible says you have a special double measure of happiness tonight. You say, how do I apply that? It's very simple. When the Bible says something, claim it. Now, I'm telling you, the word of God says it, claim it. God, the Bible's clear. Which I heard someone say, there's 365 promises in the Bible. That's one you can claim for every day of your life. Just start digging. Whatever the Bible says, believe it, claim it, and God will give you happiness. That's proven by prayer. Do you realize how crazy prayer is from the outside? If someone's looking at us when we're praying, we seem like we're insane. We're talking to somebody that we can't see. We're speaking to somebody that is not there. But friend, if you could feel Him like I feel Him, you would know that He's alive. And as you get into the Word and God builds your faith based upon the revelation of who He is, you begin to know who God is, and you trust Him, and you call out to Him, and you worship Him, and you love Him, and you appreciate Him, and you bless Him. Not only do we have proof and peace, but we have power. John chapter 20 and verse 22. When He had said this, He breathed on them. Aren't you thankful for the breath of Jesus? And He saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. What whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Can I break down that passage? Because there's so much confusion here. Some take this to say that the disciples were given the power to forgive sins. And so some denominations set up confessional booths. You know, friend, that's not what the Word of God is saying. We're to call no man father but God. We're not to confess our sins to man, although we confess our faults one to another may be healed. But only God alone can forgive sins. There was one God, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, and one mediator. It's not a priest. It's not a pope. It is Jesus, the man, Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, we're here tonight to stand in love, but to rebuke the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church that teaches that there's a co-redemptrix with God, Mary. That is a false doctrine. That is a false teaching. We're here tonight to tell you there's no priest. There is no, but the high priest, and His name is Jesus. This passage is not saying that, but preacher, what is it saying? Jesus was speaking prophetically here in this passage. The word is an ingressive imperative. And the idea is this in the text, that the resurrection of Jesus and His reception of the Holy Ghost that would happen 50 days would result in the power of the Spirit. In the power of the Spirit, when we speak the word of God, when we speak the truths of God, there is power that can happen at salvation. When we speak the word of God, if it's rejected, there is judgment. When we speak the word of God and it's received, there is remission of sins. Peter got this. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Peter preached it. Same word. He says, through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall have received remission of sins. Hey, I can't forgive your sins. You can't forgive your sins. But I can tell you tonight, based on the word of God, there is one up in heaven that it can forgive all sins. And His name is Jesus. This evening, if you're feeling afraid, if you're going through discouragement, if you're weeping, if you're worried, if you're wondering, hey, listen, maybe you just need a fresh breath from Jesus. Where's that found? Well, again, it's in the Word of God. God breathed out the Scripture. It's given to us. But also it's found when we surrender completely to the Holy Ghost and we surrender ourselves to Him. We allow ourselves to be filled with the Spirit, and we allow God to fill us with the Spirit and anoint us for a task. And that gives us a purpose. That gives us power in the life. Jesus breathed on them, and they received the promise of power. They received the promise of unction of the Holy Ghost, filling of the Holy Ghost, anointing of the Holy Ghost. Say, Pastor Shakur, you talk a lot about the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. It's here in this book right here. It's not a denominational thing. It's a Bible thing. And if every single day of your life, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, There's the reason why there's no love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, temperance, meekness, temperance, faith in your life. Because that's what the power of the Spirit of God are producing in your life. An outflow of the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're wondering, maybe you're weeping, maybe you're afraid. Perhaps you just need a fresh breath from heaven. Perhaps you just need a fresh filling of the Spirit and anointing that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, maybe somebody this evening just needs to come and say, God, breathe on me fresh. When was the last time you were filled with the Spirit? I'm talking completely controlled by God the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I'm telling you, if that rubs you the wrong way, turn the cat around. This is real tonight. The filling, if we don't operate every day with the filling of the Spirit, you're living beneath your privileges. Hey, God has gifts to give to His church. Spiritual gifts. And when you're filled with the Spirit, God pours upon you the gifts to operate in the Christian life. I meet so many Christians that are content to weep and wonder and wander and be fearful and afraid. Maybe it's time for a fresh filling of the Spirit of God. Maybe it's time you just go to Jesus and say, breathe on me, O breath of God. Friend, if I did not have the filling of the Spirit, first of all, my wife would know it pretty much immediately. There's no power. It's the same thing with your car. If your car's not filled with gasoline, you'll be holding on to the steering wheel wondering why is it not going anywhere. Why am I on the side of the road? You need a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost. You need to get to operate, to function. It's unction to function. And it happens through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just say, breathe on me, breath of God. And when the Spirit of God comes and breathes on you, that's what happened. These fearful, afraid men in the upper room, when they sought God and they prayed and they sought His power and His presence, they were filled with the Spirit. And the Bible says they went out and they did things under the influence and the control of the Spirit of God. In just a few short months and just a few short years, they turned the world upside down, not through their power, not through their might, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's an anointing, it's a filling, it's a breath, it's a promise of the Word, that when we preach the Word, if it's received, there's remission. When it's rejected, there is retention of what has already been happening in their life. Number one, we have proof, we have peace, we have power, we have purpose. John chapter 21, and I might need to do it on Wednesday. In John chapter 21, He appears again to His disciples. He speaks to Peter and He gives them a final purpose. His purpose is very simple. God's purpose for your life and your destiny is very simple. It's not for you to do amazing things. It's not for you to have a whole lot of money someplace. It's not for you to do all this and that to get attention. Your purpose for your life is very simple, and that is to love the Lord Jesus. That is the fulfillment of the law. To love the Lord Jesus, to live for the Lord Jesus, and look to the Lord Jesus. A man be found faithful. It's required in stewards that we be found faithful. Hey, God may bring you success. God may give you what you're asking for. God may use you in miraculous ways. But those are the means. That's the end. The means to the end is loving and living and looking for Jesus Christ every day of your life. It's a purpose. He pulls Peter aside and says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? I want to ask you tonight, do you love Jesus more than anything else in your life? I believe He was referring to the fish, the boats, the nets. Peter loved fishing. Is there anything else tonight that you love more than Jesus Christ? I'm not here to beat you down and say, if you don't, you're terrible. I'm not trying to tell you that. I'm just saying maybe that's why you're weeping. Maybe that's why you're wondering. Maybe that's why you're missing out on the proof. And maybe that's why you feel so dry and dead and discouraged and it's all about loving the Lord Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's a love problem. Every problem you have tonight is a love problem. Revival is just falling in love with Jesus all over again. Christ looked at Ephesus and He says, I know your works. There's one thing I have against you. You left your first love. He says, I want you to live for me. I want you to die. Be ready to die for me. John 21, He says, you're going to die a death glorifying unto me. And He says, I want you to look for me. Hebrews chapter 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12 verse 2, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You know what that's saying? If you want to go crazy, stop thinking about Jesus. You want to get discouraged? Stop thinking about Jesus. But if you want the peace of God, the power of God, the proof of God, the purpose of God, get your mind off this nasty, stinking world, the nasty now and now, and get it on the sweet by and by. Stop looking at man. Stop looking at institutions. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is joy unspeakable and full of glory when you look at the Lord because he lives. The disciples got the message. Peter was crucified upside down in Rome. Matthew was slain from history with a sword in Ethiopia. Mark died after being dragged through the streets in Alexandria. Luke was hanged from an olive tree in Greece. James was thrown from a temple wall, then beaten to death with clubs. Bartholomew endured the torture of being skinned alive before dying. Andrew was bound to an X-shaped cross from which he slowly and painfully died. Thomas had spears run through his body. Jude was shot to death with arrows. Matthias was stoned and then beheaded. Barnabas was stoned to death in Salamis. John, the only one not martyred, was boiled in oil and then left to die in exile. I'm going to ask you this evening, what are you willing to do for the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, there's hope. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's alive. He's our helper. The Bible says he is our shield. He's our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. The Bible says the poor man cried. The Lord heard him and saved him. Jesus is all you need. And the Bible says those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall walk and not grow weary. They shall run and not faint. And the Bible says, wait, I say, wait upon the Lord. We're not some ragtag defeated battalion. We're the army of the living God. Jesus is alive. We can march in victory because of the blood that is shed on Calvary. We have the promise of salvation. We have the hope of a risen Savior. We have the Holy Ghost, our comforter. We have the Bible that is the Word of God. We have the blood of Jesus that has not lost its power. And so when we're assembled up in the upper room for fear and trouble ravishes our heart, just believe what the Bible says. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. We're conquerors. In fact, the Bible says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. I believe there's an Easter.